Good morning. Can you hear me? I hope we all doing well this morning. It's great to see everyone. As I was coming in, I greeted Tracy. She gave me this little card here that says today's prayer. And it's from John 7:38. It reads, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Amen. Truly, truly, life is found in Jesus, from us putting our faith, our hope, and our trust in him. Amen. Why don't we begin with the word of prayer. Our God and Father, we bow before you with humility. We come before you with open hearts, Father. We pray that we receive your word today, that we're encouraged and inspired from your scriptures. I ask that you be with me to speak clearly, Father. Speak with convictions and sincerity, that I may inspire and encourage your people. Thank you thus far for this day, to see another day, Father. We thank you for the strength and the breath that you put in our lungs to be able to raise our voices in song and in praise to you. We thank you for Jesus, Father, our Redeemer, our hope, and our life and our salvation. We pray and we ask these things in his name. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about true freedom. This past week, what did we do? As a nation, we celebrated Independence Day. Independence Day, it commemorates the signing of the Declaration of Independence that was signed by the Continental Congress July 4th, 1776. Although they put their signatures on that document, declaring themselves free from the British rule, they still had to fight for their freedom. But a small excerpt from that Declaration of Independence, and it's a phrase that we're all familiar with. It says, "All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Unalienable rights, what are those? Right? We read it all the time. But unalienable rights are rights of yours that cannot be transferred to another man or woman. Rights that cannot be taken away or threatened, so it says on paper, right? So that's why we celebrate the Declaration of Independence, because they threw off the shackles of tyranny from the British government. You know, this holiday really falls on the heels of another one that we just celebrated a little less than a month ago, which was Juneteenth. And Juneteenth is a day that was marked and that we remember that when word finally reached the slaves, some 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, that they were free, that they could walk off the plantations. So, but when you think about the 13 colonies, when you consider the slaves who received the message of Emancipation Proclamation, can you imagine how they must have felt? The storm is passing over, right? We are free. We are liberated. Freedom brings a sense of joy. Freedom allows us to dream, because it gives us agency over our own lives. That no one tells us who to marry, where to live, what job to take. That's agency. That's the ability to make decisions and to live as we please. So this is why we celebrate freedom. This is why we have the fireworks, the parades, the barbecues, the picnics, the concerts, the family reunions. And it was great this week for us is that our son and daughter-in-law, Brandon, came down from Boston with Sari just to spend time with us. It's great seeing the Dawsons here. Amen. It's about relationships. So freedom is wonderful. So imagine the joy that they must have felt. And so I was trying to put this right here to a song, thinking about if there's a song for freedom in terms of how we may feel and what we can sing. Now, I'm not going to sing this song, but I'm going to give you guys the lyrics to it, okay? I think I'm going to just stick to the preaching here. But for those old heads, you remember Kool & the Gang, right? And they had a song entitled Celebration. Okay. And here are a few of the words, and this is not a search engine, but maybe this is where they got the name from. It starts off Yahoo. Celebration, Yahoo. This is your celebration. Celebrate good times, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate good times, come on, let's celebrate. And they go, there is a party going on right here, a celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We're gonna celebrate your party with you, amen? So imagine the chains falling off your ankles. Wouldn't it be a time for celebration? Wouldn't it be a time to party and to dance? Because we love freedom. You see, freedom is a desire, it's a will, and it's a right to be free. And it's not just an American idea. This is something that goes throughout the lands. Every man, every woman, every child on every continent and in every nation and lands around the world want to be free. Freedom from oppression. Freedom of religion. You know, this is why the Pilgrim, they were called the Separatists in the 1600s when they sailed to America, to the New World, because they wanted freedom of expression in terms of how they wanted to worship, separate from the Church of England. That's why they came here on the Mayflower, coming across the Atlantic. But you know, it's very easy for us to take for granted our rights and our privileges that have been granted, because in many ways, we don't feel our freedom threatened. No one has knocked on your door. You're living under the wrong address. No one, I don't think, in here has an arranged marriage, right? You're free to love who you want to love in that regard. But you know, because of the desire for freedom, men and women have been willing to die to be able to break the chains of tyranny, bondage, and slavery. Even to this very day, there are wars and conflicts that are raging because people want to be free. And in the struggle for freedom,
to sin. Our prison is because of our sin. Do you want to be free this morning?
Yes.
What does it take? I believe freedom from putting in our faith in Jesus. We are free through faith in Jesus. Look at verse 3. It says, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. As he was, so you got the crowd of people around him, and Jesus is teaching them about who he is. So that means when it says many, so that means there are some people who did not put their faith in him. They probably stood there with their arms folded, with a scowl on their face. Say, no, I'm not accepting it. I'm not doing it. I don't believe. Who do you think you
are to tell me what to believe in? Why do I need to come to you to have a relationship with God? I don't see a need for you, Jesus. I am fine. And this is the position of many of those who stood there. Because they wait a minute now. We have never been slaves of anyone. They were self-deceived. They were blind. The irony of this right here, they pushed aside their heritage because we know that they spent over 400 years in slavery in Egypt. That Moses had to lead them out. But it's, hey, we've never been slaves to anyone. So when he was speaking, they were just hardening their hearts. What about us when we hear the word of God? How many sermons have we heard? What was our response? Did we say, as the person was speaking, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus? As you heard the word of God. What about when you read the Bible and it was, when it, or it was read to you, were you making a decision at that moment to put your faith in Jesus? Or you said, nope, I'm not going to do it. You see, we can be just like the Jews here, in that we rely upon our heritage. Hey, people speak wonderfully of me. I'm a likable person. I have my act together. I have a reputation in the church, in my neighborhood, at work. So why do I need Jesus? Why do I need him? Where are you this morning? Jesus has come to open up your prison cell. He opened the door and you're sitting on your bed in your 8x10 cell. And he said, you're free to go. Are we saying, hey, this is not a prison cell here. This is my life. This is my life. I can't leave this behind. A lot of us don't have the faith to follow Jesus. Because we think following Jesus is slavery. I don't get freedom to do what I really want to do. Do you really have the freedom to do what you want to do? What about all those changes you've tried to make? And how disappointing. Failure after failure after failure, and you wonder, why can't I be different? Because you're a slave, because we're slaves to sin. And we can only have the strength and the power through Jesus to live a new life, to be free, to not be in bondage. But we have to recognize our need for Jesus. And we have to believe that true freedom is found in following Jesus. When we submit our lives to him, we're not restricting our lives. That's why some people don't make that decision. Or they say, you know, wait until I get a little older. I'm only 15 right now. I'm only 16 right now. I'm only 20. There are things I want to do in life. And if I make that decision to follow Jesus, I won't have the opportunity. I'm not going to have fun. Life is not going to be what I want. I made my decision to follow Jesus at 18. I'm 61 today, so do the math. So. But I did not look at it as a loss. It's no different than making the decision to get married. Who goes into a marriage and, man, if I get married to her, I get married to him, I can't play the field or whatever. You know, you shouldn't get married. Is that what you're thinking, right? You're looking at this right here as a golden opportunity to have a life mate. Amen? That's how we need to look at freedom in Christ. And you know, we need to make certain that we continue in freedom. It's not starting a race, but it's finishing a race. In Psalm 119, verse 45, it says, I will walk about in freedom, for I've sought out your precepts. We must walk in freedom. We don't stop. But in order to do that, we need to make sure the word dwells within us. We need to allow ourselves to get into that word and dig deeply, to be inspired, to be encouraged. Because there are a lot of bumps and bruises along the way in life. And life can be hard, it can be difficult, and it can be challenging. But it's your responsibility, and you have the ability through God's word, through his spirit, to remain faithful and to be true to him and not give up. Amen? Amen. Over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom. What does that mean? It's like, sounds a little circular, right? Well, there is a situation in the church of Galatia where they are returning to their old beliefs and spiritual habits and not really seeing the need for Jesus. And we may make decisions to look to our past and say, man, life sure was better for me when I wasn't a Christian. Man, things were a lot easier. No one was expecting much of me. Now I'm called to serve and to give. Is this really for me? And we want to pull back within our hearts. But Paul says, look, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The things that shackled us in the past, we should not allow to hold us back today. We should always be progressing and growing in our faith, doing more. But it comes through our obedience and acceptance of God's word and remaining true and faithful. The Bible talks about the faithfulness of God. But God calls us to be faithful and to be true to him as well. Amen? My last point is this right here. Not for us alone. Not for us alone. The freedom you have in Christ, it's not just for you. It's not just for me. God has set us free, and we must give our hearts and our minds and our lives to make a difference in the lives of other people. Open Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It reads, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. As those freed by Christ, we are called to give our hearts to one another, to impact people for Christ. Hey, how many of us has a busy schedule? Has a lot of things going on. Some of us can put both hands and both feet in the air. We all have our share of burdens and difficulties and heartaches and problems in life. But I don't read from the scriptures where we get the exemption card from God saying, yo, man, you got so much going on. I know, I keep wanting to say Tenzin, because there's a guy who works for me. His name is Tenzin, but Kenzin likes to use the term that maybe it's not a person's season. Okay, and sure, we all gonna have our moments, but the season to serve is every season. When you look at the Bible, when you consider Jesus, it's never convenient, is it? It's never easy, is it? A lot of times it's unappreciated on a human level. You see, we become too much of earthlings because we look at one another and we look at people's responses to what we do. And sometimes we feel, man, I just did this right here and I ain't getting a praise or anything. We base it upon one another. But God sees everything. He knows everything you're doing. Do not grow weary in doing good. Because at the proper time, you'll receive a reward if you don't give up. God will bless us, if not today, but in the end. And God is really calling us to be just like Jesus. You know, we're not called to do anything that Jesus did not do. Amen? Because when we think about this right here, over Philippians chapter 2, it says, your attitude in verse 5 should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to grasp, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus made himself nothing. The only way he can free us spiritually is to become nothing. If we want to make a difference in the lives of other people, God says that our attitudes should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He lowered himself. He humbled himself. Humility is one of our greatest challenges because we are so prideful. We think so highly of ourselves. We elevate our needs, our attitudes, and we just push people down. But Jesus made a decision to become nothing. He gave it up all. What about us? What will we do? What will we give up for the freedom of others? That they may know the blessings of God, that they may know his love, his mercy, and his goodness. It's gonna cost us something. There is no way around it. There is no way around it. It's just like when you go shopping for groceries, I don't care what the prices are, there is no way of taking food out of that grocery store without paying something. It's gonna cost you something. It's gonna cost. Are we willing to accept the cost of service? Are we willing to accept the cost of freeing men and women from the bondage of sin. There is no other way it's going to happen. It is virtually impossible unless you become different, unless I become different. And Paul understood that. He just didn't talk about what Jesus did. Paul followed his example. And lastly, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1, Paul said, am I not free? Am I not free? We can ask that same question as a person in the first verse. Am I not free? We usually ask people that question when they want us to do something, and we don't want to do it. You say, hey, I'm free. You can't tell me what to do. But that's not why Paul asked the question here. You see, Paul had certain rights as a missionary, as an apostle, as a man who was giving his life to preach God's word. And he said, look, I have certain rights and privileges. I have certain rights to have a wife and to have support from the church. That's why he says in verse 5, don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles, the Lord's brother and Cephas? You see, people are trying to tell Paul, look, you can't do certain things. Paul said, well, wait a minute now, in verse 7, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? He said, look, I'm working full time here. And he wasn't working for money, but because he was working so much and he couldn't really concentrate on doing certain things, he said, look, I should have support. In verse 9 says, do not muzzle an ox while it's threading out the grain. But then he goes in verse 12, it says, if other has have the right of support from you, shouldn't we have it also, all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. This is challenging. Paul said, look, I had these certain rights, but I'm going to forego those. Hey, look, I don't want to make it an issue. What in our lives, what have you given up? Saying, look, I know I have this right to do X, Y, and Z with my schedule and my life and my finances, but I'm going to make a decision not to exercise those rights so that I can make a difference in the lives of someone else for Christ. Are we there as individuals? Are we there as a church? We must be there if we're gonna make a difference. And Paul goes on last in verse 19, he says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Amen. Though I am free and belongs to no man, I make myself a slave. He didn't say, look, I put in a few hours. You know, I served this brother, this sister a little bit. He said, no, I make myself a slave. And a slave has no rights. A slave has no agency. A slave doesn't determine the course of his life. And Paul is saying, I'm willing to live that way because it's not just for me alone. I'm willing to give it up to make a difference in the lives of other people. Our freedom in Christ is not for us alone. We must accept the inconveniences with our time and our schedule, our finances. We must express all the gifts and abilities that God has given us. We cannot bury our talents. Then we'll be able to dream and make a difference in the lives of others. We're called to serve one another in love. And we will do so if the freedom of others is important to us, just as our freedom. Amen?
Bro, thank you so much. Very, very encouraging message for us to consider the freedom, spiritual freedom that has been accomplished for us in Jesus.